Hello, correspondent, and welcome to Pen Friends Voicemail, Episode 1. This is a correspondence-only podcast. And because my weekly email to you is called the airmail, I guess voicemail makes sense, right? Yeah. Let's go with that. Welcome to Voicemail, Episode 1. Hello, correspondent. It is Wednesday, the 20th of May, 2020, and I had to open my calendar app to find out what day it was, which I think is not an unusual situation at the moment. We're in such weird times, but it's time for me to do this first Ask Me Anything Correspondence Only podcast, which I'm excited about. Spent most of today getting my podcast trailer for my Attention Engineer weekly podcast series finished and submitted to all of the places that you submit podcast trailers to. It's a big new learning curve for me because I've never done it before. And it's exciting. It's going to be a real thing. I've got all these interviews that I am starting to edit. The trailer is up, which means that the show can get approved by all of the big wigs, the Apple Podcasts, the Spotify, the Google Podcasts and Stitcher and various other ones, which means that it can be available in all the places that people listen to podcasts, which is really important. And it buys me a little bit of time to finish episodes 1 to 12, which I have all of the interviews ready for. I didn't want to launch the podcast without having a few episodes ready, so I collected all of these interviews. Actually started recording them last November, and then when lockdown hit, that was just as I was about to spend a few days driving around the country going to visit various people for these interviews, these conversations. So everything had to switch to online, which is fine and has worked really well, especially with people who are far away. So I didn't have to go really, really far in the car. And of course, the subject matter kind of changed because of what's going on. So it's a challenge for me now to pull together the interviews from before coronavirus with the interviews after coronavirus, and just kind of like deliver them all in a way that is interesting and fun and a bit of escapism, but also talking about how people are dealing with what's going on, because you can't really do anything these days without referencing it, which I think is fair enough. But yeah, so it's been a busy day. It's been a busy few weeks, hasn't it? It's been so brilliant launching Pen Friend and the Correspondence Club and all of these plans I started coming up with when I was doing a lot of driving on tour last year, just thinking about what would I like my future to look like, and my weeks and my months and my days, even like down to that kind of detail. And nothing's changed from the plans I came up with last September, October, apart from the new song that came out last Friday, which is called Everything Looks Normal in the Sunshine. And that was written about and during coronavirus and the lockdown in the UK. So, yeah, the only thing that's changed from my grand plan was that is an extra single that's come out first. And the next one's due to come out probably in August, depending on what's going on. So this is an Ask Me Anything podcast, which I've never done before, but it's great because it means I've got tons to talk about, because you have been asking me brilliant questions on the forum. And if you're a correspondent who's listening and hasn't had time to check out the forum, I would really love you to just check it out. At the very base level, it's a version of a Facebook group, I suppose, but it's so much more than that, because one of the key parts of this grand plan of mine was acting as a bridge between people, you lot, instead of being someone who stands at the front and gets listened to, although yes, I would love that to still be the case when gigs are allowed to happen again. Instead of doing that on the internet, it's about creating a space for people to actually hang out together. And that's what's been happening. And that is what has been just such a joy to watch as this thing has started to grow. There's a few hundred people in there now. And people having conversations without me needing to get involved, which is the ideal thing, really. Because I think it'd be a bit strange if I was popping up on absolutely every thread and having a chat. Because this is not about me. This is about, like I said, creating a space for people who have similar interests and different interests to just have a chat. And it's a lot more relaxed and less fighty and less aggressive and weird than the public ones, because you all have at least one thing in common, which is an interest in my music. And then, of course, loads of other things. And so I've just really enjoyed reading posts about what you're reading at the moment. Someone wanted to start a poetry topic, which is awesome. The stuff about first gigs you ever went to, most recent gigs, we're doing a weekly Spotify playlist where a different correspondent each week will curate the playlist, which is really cool, because then I get to hear all the music that you love and get inspired by that. And who knows what will come into the new songs I'm writing. So I'm just really, really enjoying that. So thank you to everyone who's been getting involved in that. It's not going to be for everyone. You might not want to do that, and that's totally fine. You're still completely welcome to engage with all of this stuff however you wish. That's the whole point. I certainly don't want to be online all day. So just please dip into whatever piques your interest. I just think it's really cool and it's really lovely. So I'm going to have a look at the two different threads on the forum that ask me what I thought were quite brilliant questions and see if I've got anything to say about it. So Oliver Godby asks, if you could collaborate with any artist alive on a new song, who would you pick and why? Now, if you listen to what I think is going to be episode one of the Attention Engineer podcast, you will learn that there is going to be an interesting collaboration with someone who is alive, obviously, who is the guest. And I'm not going to tell you who that is because it ruins the surprise. It hasn't quite started yet, but it's going to, because I'm going to get my act together and send that person some stuff tomorrow. So I would have said that person if that person wasn't already doing it. But let me think. Off the top of my head, I would say Bjork. And that would be because she is so very much herself, very, very creative and unusual, and just has one of those voices, and I mean her actual speaking voice, that is so individual. So I really love that about her. I also love the way she approaches arranging music, and I love that she performs quite different versions of things than the ones that are on her records. So I would love to work with her. That would be amazing. Just tons and tons and tons of vocal layers. I can imagine that's what it would be like. Let's go for Bjork. All right. And if anyone out there can make this happen, I will be indebted to you for the rest of my life. Please describe your ultimate breakfast. This would include location, time of day, etc., not just the food and drink. It's very specific. I like that. I was thinking about that earlier because I haven't been anywhere for ages. Ages and ages and ages. Is it week nine? I think it's week nine of lockdown. And even though it's supposedly starting to ease up, or some people are definitely acting like it's easing up, I'm not ready for that. So I was thinking earlier, because it's my birthday in a week and a half, on the 1st of June, and normally my lovely husband would treat me to some sort of nice brunch somewhere, or a day out, or sometimes we might go away, we might go somewhere overnight. All the sort of nice normal things you might consider doing on a special occasion pre all this. And of course, we won't be able to do any of that. But what we have done is arranged for a click and collect order that we're getting on Sunday. And I've thought ahead to my birthday and made sure that we've ordered some really fancy ice cream. And also, the remaining ingredients I need to make a batch of baked donuts, because it's not that I miss the motorway driving aspect of touring particularly, but it's quite a nice treat every now and again to stop off and get a big fat donut and a cup of coffee. And I haven't been able to do that for ages either. And so I just thought, well, I'm sure you can make these things yourself. And I looked it up and I tried to find a healthy version, hence them being baked, because I don't want to deep fry the donuts. Now, Tim can't eat gluten, so I'm figuring out a way of doing half a batch of gluteny ones and half a batch of non-gluteny ones. And I'm also going to have to ask Dr. Google for his opinion on whether I can freeze them, because I'm on a massive health kick and I don't want to eat 20 donuts on my birthday. Anyway, I digress slightly, because I guess what I'm saying is for my birthday breakfast, I'd quite like it to be at about 10 because I'd like to just sort of mooch around reading in bed for a bit first. And I'd like to not have to walk the dogs that morning. That would be cool. And then I'd like breakfast, maybe in bed, and maybe there would be one of my lovely baked donuts there. And I don't know what else goes with the baked donut. But what we normally have for breakfast, which I like very much, is overnight oats. That's my favourite because you don't have to do anything in the morning apart from just eat it. Like put fruit on and yogurt and eat it with a nice coffee. And oh man, am I glad that we bought a coffee machine last December because we managed to get really good at frothing milk. And then now we can have coffee whenever we like. And thanks to my mother for paying for most of the coffee machine as a Christmas present. Thanks, Mum. I haven't quite answered the question because it asks for location as well. So a location where I've really enjoyed breakfast in the past is the Lido in Bristol. It's so posh. It's so fancy. And their brunchy stuff is really nice. And it's so gorgeous next to the swimming pool. And then maybe you might have a massage or go for a swim or sit in the hot tub and all that kind of nice stuff. And it's a real treat. That's not the sort of thing I luxuriate in very often, maybe once a year or something. But God, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that on my birthday. But I just have to save it up for whenever it's safe to do nice things again. Now I'm thinking about donuts. Okay, moving on. If you could send a message back in time to yourself on your 16th birthday, what would you tell yourself? And I know that you'd expect nothing less than the brutal truth from me here, so I'm not going to pretty it up too much. I would say, don't go out with that boy. He's going to mess up your life. That's what I'd say. Poor 16-year-old Laura had no clue. And there's this weird sliding doors moment where I could have gone out with one boy or another boy. And I feel like the first one just would have been really nice. And who knows whether anything, you know, big or important would have happened or if it would have lasted more than a week or who knows, who knows. But I know what happened with the other one and it was dreadful. So I would say, don't go out with that boy. And also I would say, you can sing. And you should really pursue that over what he wants you to do. So yeah, ugh, wisdom. Wisdom's painful. Scott Large asks, what comes first, the lyrics or the music? Are you constantly writing down lyrics to use or do you sit down purposely to write a song? Does the idea for a song come first? Do you work on multiple songs at a time or completely finish one before moving on to the next? Basically, all this can be summed up into what is your songwriting process? Very good questions. Okay, so this has changed over the years. It's developed. And I feel like the way I do it now is the best I've done so far, which is good. It means that things are going in the right direction. Whenever I hold an instrument, the danger is I'm going to come up with something new. Right? That's a really nice, high-class problem to have. But it is somewhat of a problem because it means I'm quite usually recording things on my phone or into a Zoom recorder or whatever, or, you know, a brand new idea. And then I'll put it in my Dropbox folder and then I don't do anything because I've probably got other stuff to do at the time. And then I end up with a stack of stuff that's a bit unwieldy and then I feel a bit overwhelmed and then I'm not sure what to do about it. And sometimes that can lead to periods of not doing anything, which is the worst, the absolute worst. But what I'm doing about that is planning in studio days. So every Wednesday, Thursday and Friday every week is meant to be music recording. Now today is Wednesday and I have not done any, but it's because I had to get the podcast done. Otherwise the first episode can't go up on time. So tomorrow and Friday are studio days. And what I'm going to have to do is go through some of the more recent things. And what I do is I sit and I listen to the snippets. And if anything really, really, really grabs me, I put it into a new folder going work on next. Now, unfortunately, there are several folders in a sort of awful pile of different folders that say work on next, work on next, new, work on next, now, things like that. I'm getting a bit into file, my awful file structure, terrible organization here. But I gather the snippets, I decide which ones really pique my interest at the moment, and then I just sit and I force myself to work them into an arrangement. So by arrangement I mean the music, like it could be the very basic music, it could just be the chords first and then how long's the chorus and then is there a middle bit, is there another chorus, is there an instrumental? that kind of thing. Usually when I'm coming up with chords and things on the guitar or the ukulele or piano or whatever, I do start singing a little melody that will go with it, and often the melody takes me to the next chords. So it's not like I write an entire instrumental piece of music and then I sing over the top. It's much more embedded and integrated than that, which I really like, because it means the melody, the vocal melody, is taking you somewhere rather than just singing over the top of something, which is just a different way of doing it. So I normally do it like that. And then I just end up with like lists and lists and lists of things to work on. And so the situation I find myself in now, I've got 7 songs that are completely finished, recorded, mixed and mastered, actually. So they're all ready to go onto an album. And I've got another, oh my God, like at least 8 that I think are completely finished written songs with words and everything. And then I've got all these new ideas, and I really want to make the first Pen Friend album a mixture of those things. So it'll have things that are super new and things that are the older ones that aren't old at all because no one's heard them. But it's just going to be a mix of stuff. So yeah. As for lyrics, I do write down ideas for lyrics a lot. Sometimes the lyric will write the whole song. So Everything Looks Normal in the Sunshine was a phrase I wrote down in the morning. So I write these things, it's called morning pages. You write 3 pages of whatever comes out of your head, just so that you can move on with your day and be productive and creative and not have like just niggly annoying things in your head. It's very, very powerful. I've been doing it since the 1st of January this year, every day. And so I wrote that phrase down, and then I thought that sounds like it's a song. And then I got my guitar out and I started playing stuff and recording it, and then the whole thing came out really fast. And then I finished the lyrics a few days later. In the past, I've been incredibly lazy about lyrics and just gone, oh, I'll do them later. And it's not being lazy. It's the sort of procrastinating through fear of having to face up to doing something that's important and then potentially failing. I think that's why I put them off for so long. And then I would just sort of wait until the last minute and then have to write them. And they turned out well. So I'm talking about songs like Slow Puncture, for instance. I wrote the verse lyrics on the day of recording the vocals, which is really not the way I like to live my life anymore. And I'm really pleased with those lyrics, but I think that was luck rather than design, if you see what I mean. So I try to really sit and get a full set of lyrics. A good trick I've been using this year and last year, actually, is sitting with my typewriter and just writing loads of stuff. And it's kind of stream of consciousness. Maybe it's around, maybe I've got an idea of a nugget of a lyric for a song. And then I would just type that, and then things around it, just whatever comes out really, and just sort of don't stop typing, just keep going, keep going. And then I get a highlighter pen and I highlight anything that's good. And then I try and wrestle that into something that scans with the song, with the melody I've already written. So that's another way. And what I find is if I sit there doggedly doing it and editing and re-editing and trying new things, in a few hours I will have a full set of lyrics. And once I've got a full set of lyrics that fit, I step away for a little while, maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, and then I'll come back and go, right, is this saying what I want? What am I saying? What is this song telling me? Because sometimes it's more like the song tells you what it is. And then, okay, well, is this the strongest way to do it? Is this the best line that can go here? And what I find is I don't tend to edit and edit and edit. It's really not like that for me. But because I've been doing a fiction writing course for the last 5 weeks, I'm now thinking a lot more clearly about the kinds of imagery and the kinds of ways I might want to write lyrics in a slightly different way. So I wonder whether that's going to inform all that. And going to say hopefully make it better. If it makes it worse, I won't do that, but if it makes it better, I will. So yeah, it comes quite naturally, but only if I sit and work. And if I don't sit and do it, then it doesn't happen at all. It's like anything. But I think that's the fundamental thing. You can't write a song if you're not going to sit and write it. It doesn't just come fully formed into your head. And even if it did, and actually that's not true, that they never do, sometimes they actually do, if it does come fully formed into your head, you still have to get it out of your head. So if you're not prepared to sit down, and when I say you, I mean me, if I'm not prepared to sit down and channel that into whatever form it ends up being, then it's just a daydream, isn't it? So I suppose it's making something a reality out of a daydream. That's what making music is, what a weird thing to do with your time. But I really like it. So yeah, that's the long version of that answer for you there. Michael Record asks, do you ever rewrite lyrics because the first version was too honest? That is a good one. I don't think there's such a thing as being too honest unless you're actually naming and shaming an actual person who lives in the world and will see and hear and things. Because I don't see the point of doing this unless it's really, really honest. Of course, you can tell a story. It doesn't have to be true. Songs don't have to be true. But if you're going to write something, I don't see the point of spending the time writing it, crafting it, recording it, releasing it, talking about it, trying to get people to listen to it if it's not honest. So no, I have never rewritten lyrics because the first version was too honest. If anything, I would try and make things more honest. And like I say, as long as you're not naming and shaming an actual person, I think it's okay. I have a song that I'm going to be sharing with you quite soon-ish called Call Your Mother. And it's about a real life experience of mine. And I just think that if someone's really awful to you, and if they think that events were different from how you think they are, it doesn't really make a difference for a song, because your version of events and your experience is your experience. That's your life. And you have the absolute right to interpret that into whatever art form you wish to, because it's yours. So I have no problem with being honest in songs. He also asks, is it hard to write relationship lyrics when you know the person concerned will hear them? It probably says a lot about me that I would say no. No, it doesn't. In the past, I've tended to write relationship lyrics about people I knew I wasn't going to see again. So I didn't think they were going to listen. And if they were going to listen, I would tend to sing the song You're So Vain at them if they had a problem with it, to be honest. Because like I said, I write my own experience of my life, and it may not match up with someone else's experience of the same thing happening. But I am being honest, and I'm not a liar, and I would never fictionalize something to make myself look better. If anything, I probably make myself look worse than I actually am in songs. So no, I don't think so. I guess there could be a positive spin on this, which is that maybe it would be hard to write a positive love song about someone when you're with them. I haven't tried that yet. Maybe I should. I think my lovely husband is owed a really nice song at some point, because he's great. But yeah, that's a really good question. Thank you for asking me that. Levi Falk has a question about production. I'm an audio engineering student, so I'd love to hear about your production process. Thank you. I'm really pleased that you want to know more. It's very simple here, actually. I don't have loads of stuff in this studio. The studio is an attic room in my house. It's not a studio. It doesn't have like loads of stuff, like expensive gear in it or audio treatment or anything at all. It's very simple. So I have an iMac on a desk. I have a Focusrite Claret interface because it's got four XLR inputs on the front, which is what I need. I just need that many. You could easily get away with the one that's got two inputs. You probably don't need four. I need that many because I DI my electric guitar signal as well as recording it with two different microphones in front of my amp. So that's what's going on over there. I have an SM57 microphone and an E930, if I'm remembering the numbers right. I get really into gear, and then once I've got the gear I need, I just immediately forget what it is because I don't need to know anymore. But yeah, I have that. I record bass through a Sans amp bass DI pedal. I do have an amp, but I'd rather have a cleaner signal, really, and not have to deal with the fact that I don't have a treated room. So I have that. I have an SM7 vocal mic. You can use it for all sorts of things. I use it for ukulele and guitar, acoustic guitar and vocals. And that's it. I have an amazing mix engineer called Dan Austin, who's been working with me for years now, like 5 years. Yeah, five years since Direction of Travel. And so I send everything to him, recorded at really high quality, and then he does the rest. So and we've got into a really good rhythm with that, so I really like that. And in terms of live drums, I have a guy called Max Saidi who records remotely. He's got a actual nice studio. I think it must be at his house because he's still working now. And he records live drums and sends me all the bits, and then I send them to Dan, and he makes it all sound amazing. So that's how we did Everything Looks Normal in the Sunshine. And Max had already recorded on, I think it's 3 songs of the 6 that we recorded last summer. So yeah, he's really good. So that's very helpful, very handy to have people who work remotely and are available. So that's how I do things at the moment. Michael asks more questions. How, if at all, has your writing mentality changed from She Makes War to Pen Friend? I don't think it has. It's because it's not about that. For me, the Pen Friend thing is about the presentation and the language around all of the stuff I'm doing. It's about the presentation into the world, I guess. This album is different, so I'm using synths more because I'm just really into them, alongside guitars, bass. Maybe it has changed. If anything, my writing mentality is more confident. So it's not really about the instruments I'm using because they're the same ones. If you listen to Disarm, there's synths on there and electronic drums. It's just different. Different songs and a long time ago, and I've developed my skills since in all areas. So yeah, it's just about confidence and just doing whatever I like. But I've always tried to do that. If an insomniac, agnostic, dyslexic stays up all night, is it because he's pondering if there is a dog? I replied, is he waiting for Doggo? And I'll leave that one there. Chris Cook asks, Spotify, pure evil or necessary evil? Now, I think it's better if we talk about streaming rather than a specific platform. But all I will say is, we live in a world where these things exist. There are some ways to make them work for us and some ways that they work against us, I guess. And I'm all for making them work for me. So I will make Spotify playlists and I will have my music there for people to come across. Of course, it's brilliant. And then I guess I will always, but the important thing is that I will also always offer a much nicer place to listen to my music and offer higher quality versions of those songs for free in the Correspondence Club. And that's it. And I've always tried to do that on all previous websites. It's all been about, yeah, sure, you could get it over there, but you could also have it here. And if you're here, there's blog posts, there's videos, there's pictures, there's a warm welcome, especially now with the Correspondence Club being how it is. There's a warm welcome, not just from me, but from hundreds of other people. So I guess if I can keep creating a nicer place for people to visit, then hopefully they'll visit there rather than the other ones. But ultimately, if people are listening, that's great. There's a lot of great discussion going on at the moment about how to try and change these platforms so that musicians and songwriters get a much better deal. That would be really great. And I really support those things and I'll do what I can to help. But I suppose ultimately I want to spend my energy on my bit of the world, my bit of the internet, and inviting all of you to come and spend time there. So let's just do that. I really like that. Next question from Neil Mitchell. How do you know when a song idea is worth developing or if an idea is going to be something other than a song? It has to make me feel something. And so if I play a chord sequence on the guitar and it makes me feel really sad or if it makes me feel really excited, then I know I should do something with it. And if it doesn't, then I probably would just keep playing until something else happened. And in terms of whether it's going to be something other than a song, that's interesting because usually it's either a song or it's not a song, or it's either a song or it's a snippet that lives on my computer forever that occasionally I listen to and go, oh, I should do something with that. But I am also branching out into making instrumental music. So there are definitely a few of these snippets that have happened recently that I think will be pieces rather than songs. So this is a very good question. And because I'm going to be doing 3 studio days a week, I should be able to create loads of music so I can start working on that aspect, which is something I've wanted to do for ages. So thank you for that question. That was also very good. What's your favourite lyric that you've written and or someone else has written? I'll tell you my favourite lyric someone else has written. I mean, answering these kind of questions is silly because any other day I might think of something else, mightn't I? Or I can't do like top 5 songs ever lists. That's silly. That's just too hard. But one of my favourite lyrics in the world is, I'm not finished yet, I'm under construction. And that's from The Storm by Tanya Donnelly. I love it. Love it so much. And I've told her many times how great that is. It's brilliant. Favourite lyric of mine? Probably from a song that's going to come out next. And I'm wondering whether I should tell you. I don't know why I'm so weird about having secrets. I like secrets, but also I like to tell you stuff. Okay, it's I used to know everything. Now I'm not sure of much. That's my current favourite lyric. And I'm so excited to play you that song. It's going to be so good. Let's see. Neil Larissy, you cheeky man. That stand-up show you did a few years back, I always wanted to hear that, he says. The times I've seen you live, you've been hilarious in between songs, mixed with utterly terrifying when someone draws your ire, which thankfully I only saw once in Manchester. But you were, quite rightly, fearsome. Thank you. Is there a recording of the stand-up show anywhere that you may find comfortable to share with us? And I actually replied online a few weeks ago. I said, yes, I have a multicam recording of that stand-up show on a big fat memory stick somewhere in the launch pad to edit together one day. And I promise I will, one, try to find it soon, and two, watch it myself to see if it's vaguely shareable. And I will, and I'd forgotten, because I've been busy, but I will. Because it was good. I think it was good. I don't know, I'll have to check the footage. I really enjoyed doing it. It was called Shit Girlfriend, and it was a list of reasons that people shouldn't go out with musicians. But it was very clever, you see, because basically I was saying that we're really good kinds of people, and sometimes we attract the wrong kinds of people who make us feel bad about what we do, and that sucks. And it's okay, I'd already broken up with the person who made me feel that way, and it was really good. It was a really terrifying thing to do, and that's why I did it. I decided to go to Edinburgh Fringe and do 2 weeks of it, because I was really, 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 really scared of standing up and talking in front of people. Playing's fine, talking between songs is fine, but actually standing up and doing a thing that was mostly talking with a bit of music was horrific. But I got over it after a few days, and then I really enjoyed it. So I'll look into that. There is I don't know where it is. There's a memory stick somewhere in the room, and there's a lot of things in this room, so I don't know. But yeah, good questions, everyone. Thank you very much. Really enjoyed that. If you've got questions you'd like me to answer in the next one of these, please just let me know. You can email me, laura@penfriend.rocks, or go into the forum and ask me there, wherever you like, wherever you prefer. And I just want to say thank you so much for being part of this. This is something I've been thinking about for, goodness me, since last September. And planning and thinking about and trying to work out how all the bits could work together, because the main drive of it really was to bring everything under one umbrella. So the Correspondence Club is this umbrella that things are underneath, if you see what I mean. There's the public facing stuff, which is, you know, releases, single releases, album release, bits and bobs. And then there's just a really nice, safe, supportive space, not only for me, like I was saying earlier, but for all of you, if you choose to use it, if it's something that you want and need. And it is our space together. So if there are things that you would like, just ask me. Like, if you want a topic on the forum, just please ask. I actually thought everyone could make them, and then I realized only myself and Tim can, so you just have to ask me to make a topic and I'll do it. Yeah, if there are ideas you have, that's the whole thing. So I changed my name, but also it's not just a change of name, it is a new project launch, because I wanted to feel like I was part of something rather than a weird kind of person out on a moor alone, a solo figure, lonely in the bad weather or whatever it is. Like, I don't want to live that way. I'm not that kind of person. I genuinely had no idea that there would be an audience for what I was doing when I first started doing it. And then I just think it's such a beautiful, inclusive thing when people love music and art and want to support that in all the different ways that you do that. And yeah, that's the thing. So rather than being like this sort of lonely figure on a stage, I wanted to be down in the audience. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I think my role is. I think a lot about all of this kind of philosophical stuff about what is the role of a songwriter in a community. And I genuinely feel like it's one role of many roles that are all important. And we all have those roles. My role is not more important than your role. Saying role so many times makes me hungry, but there you go. I'm delighted that you like my music and you trust me enough to come and join this thing and be part of this journey with me and with everybody else who's joined. I think that's incredible. And I don't think I'm better than anyone in the group. And I think that you're probably a lot more interested than me, because all I do is write songs and stay home. I don't know. Most of us are staying home at the moment, but that's the thing. You're the ones going out to see all these cool bands when it's allowed and stuff. And I want to learn from you. I want to know what you're into and And there's absolutely no artifice here. This is not some weird marketing trick to pretend to be down with the common man so that people buy my stuff. That would be horrific. It's not about that at all. It's about, I suppose, trying to make a space for more meaningful connections, because that's what I need as a person, because I'm a person. And there's a lot of things that go on under this personhood, the hood of this person, the bonnet. And I just really want to do this way. And it's wonderful to hear that it's something that you're enjoying, honestly. Because if you weren't, then we just wouldn't do it this way. Obviously, we'd find a different way of doing it. I say we, as in me and you. We would figure it out. So yeah, all the stuff is here for you to engage with as you wish. If you like podcasts, there's going to be this podcast coming up. I'm hoping to launch it on the 3rd of June. I think it's going to be really interesting for people, because I'm asking questions that these people do not get asked, basically. And some of the people I know already or have met once or twice, so we can set up quite a sort of silly rapport quite early on, which has been nice. And some people I've never met, so, and doing stuff over the internet has been interesting, because normally if I meet someone, I can kind of warm them up a little bit first and then dive into questions. And obviously, if I know someone already, then they know, like, I'm not a journalist. I'm not trying to trip them up. I'm not trying to make them say anything stupid or make them look silly or anything. So there's a real nice camaraderie that happens with people I know already. I've had a wonderful time recording the conversations, because they genuinely are, like I've written in the blurb about it, they're the conversations I always wanted to have with some of the artists I admire the most, because I don't get to do that. When you play a gig, there's a lot of carrying amps in and out of a room. There's nerves before the gig, perhaps. There's some, you know, everyone has to go and try and eat, try and watch each other, say hi afterwards, trying to have a meaningful chat with someone you play with once is pretty hard, let alone an hour-long chat about how they write songs, how they, I don't know, survive, how they deal with being really famous and then maybe playing a small gig, or all these kinds of weird questions that I think are super fascinating. So I've asked all those kinds of questions and more besides. Again, mostly because it's something I wanted to do. I just wanted to talk to them. And I also think that a lot of these people don't get asked these kinds of interesting questions, and they don't necessarily get asked about songwriting or things like that. And some of these people I really do think are some of the very best songwriters, and maybe aren't considered that way, because I think in the UK our press situation is not great. It's really hard to get good coverage that is more than someone copying and pasting your press release or kind of elaborating on it or whatever. There just aren't the outlets. And so I really wanted to offer a space for them to be able to talk about the ins and outs of what they do and their creativity and things, because they're brilliant people. I've only asked people I think are absolutely amazing at what they do. And yeah, there just isn't, I'm not seeing it happening in other places. So I think I've loved podcasts for years and years. I've wanted to make this podcast for, I want to say 6 years. And I wish I'd done it 6 years ago, because who knows where it would be now. But also, there's no point thinking that way, because I've done lots of other things in the last 6 years and I'm doing this now. So I'm not going to beat myself up about it at all. I'm doing it. I'm doing it now. So I don't know. I'm just really excited about it, because I think it's something a bit different, and I hope that you'll check it out. There will be people coming up in the series who I hope that you'll have heard of. They are all quite well known. And if you have suggestions for any other guests, then please, please let me know. Because of course, I'd love to, really love to reflect the tastes of the group as well in the podcast series. There's also going to be times when I ask you to get involved. So keep an eye out for that, because I really don't want it to be this sort of broadcasty thing where I act like a swanky journalist and they try to sell their wares and that's it, and we just go, listen to this, peasants, because that's not at all how I think about it. So I really want to get you some of your voices, literally your voices, into the podcast as well. So I'm going to think up a clear way of communicating that to you, which is not going to happen right now because I'm tired and it's too hot in this room and I need to stop talking and go and have my dinner. But yeah, I'm gonna ask you about that stuff really soon. But I'm really pleased that the trailer is online now, and I will put a link to it in the airmail so that you can have a listen to that. And other than that, I have talked for long enough, and I just want to send you loads of love. I'm finding this whole pandemic situation a roller coaster of emotions. It's so exciting having music out in the world, but I feel guilty that I'm trying to make anything about me at the moment. It's a really weird thing. I'm proud of the song being played on things like Janice Long's show on Radio Wales, and Shel Zener played it on Amazing Radio, and it's been on Radio X, and it's been on Planet Rock Radio, and other things are happening. It's really, really cool. But it's all sort of tinged with this, but we're all trapped in our homes or having to go and work under duress perhaps, and, you know, parents having to look after the children and be teachers as well. God, I mean, it's just so hard. It's so hard for everybody and always harder for others, you know, and I'm really well aware of that. And so, I don't know, it's just a funny time. So, yeah. This is what I do. I make music and I communicate, and I love to talk to you, and I love to talk with other artists and ask them questions. And so I'm doing that as well. And I love to make music, and I'm going to keep making my record. And it's so wonderful to have you be part of the Correspondence Club, because it's just this wonderful, supportive community already. It's so great. And yeah, thank you so much for making it that way and for supporting me and the making of my new music, which is such a gift. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to go. You're wonderful. I'll speak to you soon. Lots of love. Bye.